In this week, on the 29th of June 2002, trials for places in AFC Wimbledon's first squad were held on Wimbledon Common. Manager Terry Eames was helped by ex-players Jeff Bryant, Lee Harwood and Steve Gaddis as he whittled down the 230 hopefuls into a group suitable to take on the might of the combined counties league. The organisers had expected around 60 people to turn up, overwhelmed by the enthusiasm that there was for the new club. We love it. Starting all over again. This is what we do. We're the same old Wombles. We're...
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth. If we win or we lose, we just go.
Hey, dear listener, welcome to the Same Old Wombles. It's a Super Summer Special, the thing we'd like to do that Adam dreads the most. And unfortunately, we've not managed to persuade him to do any more than this one so far. But let's see how it goes. Anyhow, let's say hello to everyone. Hello, Dr. Adam Proctor. How you doing, my friend? Good summer so far?
It was fine until we had to record this episode. And it's so late as well. It's like 9 o'clock at night. We're having to use new software. All of the things are on me. So let's see what happens.
Mate, we're acclimatised into the World Cup fixtures. You know, we don't know when it's going to happen, what time it's going to be on. So this is the way it works. Could be 5, could be 6, could be 9, could be 2 a.m, could be 4 a.m. Who knows when we'll do the next one. Anyhow, Morfrey, Mark Cooper, I know what you're going to say. How you doing, Morfrey? You all right?
I am okay. Obviously, we are in a period of mourning today. It marks a sad occasion that for the major person that happens behind the genius that is in a very sad state of affairs, because news has broken today that Omar, the magic, the legend that is Omar Bugle, is leaving the club. Yeah. And I think this episode will be a complete tribute to him. And therefore, Adam, you know, we will be expecting your top 10 Omar goals in the list imminently. Yeah. And also, you know, that's definitely what we will be expecting. And your greatest Omar moments and the times when you really met him, I want that whole recollection. Because, yeah. Adam, this is a tribute to you and your love. The legend that is Omar Bugle.
But we all know, unfortunately, Adam can't remember yesterday. Neither can any of us. And now, a man with the stats, the voice of the Oppo podcast. It is, not forget it, Tall Mark Lewis. Hey, mate, how's your summer been?
I can't believe that it's the first pod of the midsummer and you still haven't let that one lie.
Never.
Honestly. You wouldn't let it lie as a pop cultural reference once used. No, I'm good. I'm very good, actually. Yes. I spent most of June in Germany. Which is quite amusing, because the Germans seem to have higher expectations and higher belief of the English football team than we do of our own. But that we'll get onto that later, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, like, so we're recording this in the midst of the World Cup. I've just witnessed Brazil scrape past Japan. So it's going to be interesting. I wonder if there's going to be any upsets in this round of 32. Anyhow, more important things, chaps. The team are back in. Pre-season training, and we've been making some signings, and it's interesting. I find this, because I'm not sure how we, you know, we all feel. So basically, we got Dan Sweeney was the first one, and then I think it was Steve, and I'm going to pronounce this horribly, Sessignon. Yeah. Because I know his brother, obviously.
Except he was born in Roehampton and lived in Worcester Park and literally played for a junior football club about 4 streets from my house. So I don't think he's that French.
No. I don't know why I'm giving it that sort of accent. I've gone all Steve McLaren. And then we've brought back Zach Nelson and Callum Maycock. And, you know, the reaction so far online has been quite positive to these. I mean... It's interesting. I mean, like, because Callum usually found himself on the subs bench, so he was coming off the subs bench. I mean, he was brilliant when he was called on, and he's obviously scored some classic goals. Zach, I thought, was an interesting one because, again, you know, he was never a regular starter for us last season. So, I think for me, I'm still waiting on, you know, possibly Tilly and Seddon, because otherwise I'm not sure how, you know, obviously we've not seen Sweeney and we've not seen Steve play. So we're not, I just don't know how, I mean, has it, do we think the side at the moment is stronger? We know there'll be more signings, but do you feel it's any more stronger than it was last season?
Well, it's not at the moment because we've got players that haven't resigned.
Yeah.
Tilly and Seddon come in, if they sign, then we're at, I would say, par. We're one or two short of improvement is where I'd say we're at. It's not bad, I think. But we had such an appalling end to the season that, we could do with a little bit of a boost, if I'm being honest. And having Tilly or Seddon would be helpful. I thought we lost Maycock, to be honest. So I think that's actually a pleasant surprise, to be honest.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think there was something going around on socials that apparently we weren't offering contracts to any of the players who are leaving the club at the end of the season. That's what I heard. I think that was something on one of the socials they said. And here we are, having offered a contract to Maycock, who was out, and he's signed it. So odd, anyhow. But it doesn't. I mean, like at the moment, there's going to be more signings to come. One hopes, we're moving in the right direction. But still, sometimes it feels like, I don't know, Mark. What do you think? Does it feel like we're almost preparing to challenge to stay up again?
Well, I mean, look, I think we need to be realistic and think the beginning of last season, we would have bitten our hand off for where we finished in the table, even though it worked out a very strange way round about doing that. Realistically, we ended up challenging, in inverted commas, with about 8 or 9 other teams. And that's the likes of Burton, the likes of Wigan, the likes of Exeter, obviously, who ultimately drew the short straw, so to speak, and been relegated and have been having to economise ever since. They've just lost their most long-serving player and captain. I know it's the socials. But it's going to be the same next season. So, you know, we probably will be up there with Bromley in terms of, or down there, so to speak, with Bromley. And there are certain other teams that we know we're not going to be able to necessarily compete with over 46 games, but of an individual game. You know, can we go to Huddersfield and get a result? Yes, of course we can. Can we go to Barnsley and get a result? Yes, of course we can, and so on and so forth. Yeah. And that's, I think, if we look at it big picture-wise, rather than worrying about whether or not we can offer the type of salaries that a Leicester can offer, or even probably a franchise can offer, you know, then we'll be fine. Because Jackson knows, and I suspect with someone like Cessignon, that's how I'm going to pronounce it.
I like it. We'll stick with that.
You need players who want to play for us, you know. I mean, I'd be fascinated to hear a proper long, lengthy interview with someone like Sweeney, because ultimately Sweeney didn't make it and Nightingale did. But whilst we loved Will and he was great when he came on the pod, you know, unfortunately his interview record wasn't great. But both Dan and Ryan Sweeney have gone on to be successful players, having gone right through non-league, successful players at a higher level. And frankly, anyone who's able to even compete for a place at someone like Stevenage is a decent asset in that regard. And actually, if you think about the stuff that happened with Stevenage at the end of last season, with the scramble on the goal line to get in, to score the goal to get in the playoffs in the last minute, who was the guy that actually put that header in to get over the line? That was Sweeney. And actually, we haven't had a brick shit house, with the greatest respect, centre back for some time. So I'm quite happy about that. Yes, of course, we want Kelly back, and yes, of course, we want Seddon back. But equally, you know, Cessignon is a touch. Cessignon, I think, already is a upgrade on Simway.
Oh yeah,
we've got a week or so until we go to Spain, and they like having the players signed up before they go to Spain. But equally, you've got 6 weeks before the season starts. Yeah. And actually, we can get onto it by talking about the fixtures in a bit. But I think the fixtures, including the Newport as the first game of the season, as a home game, I think are relatively kind. So, yeah, I'm feeling okay at the moment. Obviously, you want more players. Yeah. Obviously, nobody wanted to lose Bugle. And I don't want to start the pod on a downer by throwing his stats at Adam. But I'm sure we can get somebody. If we looked at a player who'd scored 22 goals in 120 games and thought that's someone we want to sign, we probably would have had our shortcomings. But that's actually what Omar ended up doing. We know he was far more than that.
He was
worth far more than his actual goal output. But ultimately, he's a striker, and strikers get judged on goals.
Yeah. Well, no, I think he was one of the. He was like a Leeburn. You know, he really put himself about, didn't he? And we didn't score lots of goals, but he was a very valuable asset to the team. I mean, I guess the other thing to think about on a positive note is right at this moment, we still have Marcus Brown, Miles Hippolyte and Julian King. And they are talents. And one would argue, you know, I think we'd all be surprised if Julian King was still with us at the end of the summer window. He was kept quiet a bit towards the end of the season, but I don't think he had anyone backing him up. He was doing a job that wasn't necessarily, you know, what he's a specialist in.
I think the other person you've forgotten, Matt, is Matt Stevens.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. And he was out for like...
So, you know, you think about those four players you've mentioned, right, weren't really fully fit for that end running, you know.
Yeah.
So actually having all of those fully fit and firing, which I'm sure Mark will have the stats for somewhere, but I don't think we would have played those four in one game, maybe once perhaps.
Yeah.
So, you know, having those in would be really useful. And we do remember that the injury crisis we had was massive. You know, so if we can just keep the team fit, that's going to help hugely. You know, find a person who can come in to cover that big bugle size hole that's there. You know, and it's you know, I wasn't always sure whether Bugle should start, but the guy has, you know, had an impact around the rest of the team, and that kind of ability to hold the ball up, great stuff, was a person that, you know, we definitely missed. Definitely will miss.
Yeah. I mean, and obviously there are others as well that you know, Ryan Johnson, I think has, you know, great player, and Oggs as well. So, you know, we've got the basis of it. It just feels like if we can add Tilly, if we can add Seddon, and we can add another striker, that'd be great. And it feels like we've got loads of midfielders at the moment, because, you know, you've got that, and then we've got Reeves in there, you've got Smith, you've got Splatt, McCoy Splatt, you know, so you've got an awful lot of, you know, awful lot of people, and I'm having a feeling we're going to have to try and shift some people on at some point.
Cope really rates McCoy Splatt, so that's an interesting one. I think the other person we haven't mentioned here is Joe Lewis, right? Because I think we're kind of the view that Joe Lewis's days are numbered, I think, on this part. I mean, that's my kind of inkling. You know, and it's like another one of those. He's beginning to wane. You know, still really rate the guy, but I think he's, from what the rumours are, is he's signed for someone else now. That's what we've heard, isn't it?
I mean, I think he's taken a pay. We're not going to offer him a huge amount, are we? Like, and that was the thing. We offered contracts to him. We offered contracts to Bugle, and I think a lot of them felt that, you know, we should be offering more. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they move on. Joe Lewis has been great for the club, but he, you know, unfortunately, I think this is why, and Mark, you'll know this from before, this is the problem with Stockport. I think Stockport were allowing him to go because he was injury prone.
Yeah, you want your money on the pitch, don't you, in practical terms.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, ultimately, why have we got someone like Sessegnon who came through the Fulham Academy? Well, probably, with the greatest of respect, because he's played the equivalent of one season of the last three. But equally, if that makes him relatively fresh, so to speak, and you imagine they obviously do proper, every professional club will do a proper
Well, wasn't he? I mean, wasn't he an under 21 and under 20s regular as well in the England team? So he's like, you know, there's obviously a bit of talent with him.
Yeah, so, absolutely. And also the other interesting thing is I thought he was the younger brother of Ryan. He's actually the twin brother of Ryan. So that in itself must be absolutely fascinating that both of them were signed to come through and came through together. And obviously his elder brother has gone on and was transferred to Tottenham, has come back to Fulham and has done particularly well at a much higher level. But yeah, just to go back to Lewis quickly, Lewis has played 31 games 2 years ago, then 36 games. Last season he played 26 games. So again, in the last three seasons, and how many games did you play a season? 46, 50 or so?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
potentially
yeah.
150 games.
Yep.
He's played 70 league games. And that actually is just not a sensible investment.
No.
So I suspect we've offered him what is an appropriate salary for us. And he obviously and his agent, naturally enough, think it's he's, well, that's what agents are there for, right? To be able to get higher things for their appropriate players. I suspect someone like Omar will probably end up at maybe a Cheltenham or a Swindon, much more close by to himself.
Yeah.
Could get a longer deal, less travelling.
Yeah.
Win-win, really.
Yeah, that's what
I think with both Omar and Joe Lewis, I would have expected that we wouldn't have offered them any more than they were there on now.
No.
Because they're towards the end of their, heading towards the end of their careers. And that's probably what happened. And I think they both would have thought, well, there's an opportunity to get more money elsewhere. And that's probably what happened. And I think, in a way, Craig Cope and JJ would have thought, right, well, this is, you know, we're kind of cashing in because that wage bill is now something that we can spend on someone else because they would have been towards the top end of our wage bill, both of those players, I'd have thought.
Yeah, and as I suspect Bauer would have been as well. And actually, Bauer and Boogle are probably closer to the end of their career than Lewis are. But at the same time, you know, we signed Sweeney at 32, but equally, he has played regular games. So I don't see that he's been particularly injury-prone overall, which is a good sign.
Welcome to Wimbledon. What could possibly go wrong then?
Well, absolutely right. But equally, we've got to be honest about these things. You know? A lot of the players that we have, we have the opportunity to sign them, either because Kobe's obviously got some connections, you know, your Solihull Moore's connections with the likes of Josh Kelly and obviously with Callum, or they've been injured, or we've been, you know, scouting them from other different random places. I mean, let's face it, way back in the day, Lyle Taylor was, what was his seventh choice at Scunthorpe United or something ridiculous many years ago?
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, Cope is putting a whole load of different things together. So he's not just looking at, I think our recruitment policy is much more involved. I mean, it's a real sort of like, you know, you have to buy into the ethos of the club. And everything that goes along with that. It's not just the financial thing. So I think that there's something there. So I think there's a lot more digging that we're doing to fit in.
I think this season, this summer as well, is so much more significant than the last couple because there is a definite churn that's going on this season with the squad. And this is where Craig Cope, you know, who we were kind of praising to high heel two seasons ago, needs to do a bit of magic this season, really, this summer, because I think that's where he needs to earn his crust. Because there, you know, we've got gaps. And we've got things and we were aware of issues and it's up to Craig Cope to pull some rabbits out of the hat, I think, this season, this summer.
Yep. I mean, and so it's not just, obviously, it's not just players that we've signed. We've also got a new first team coach. And for me, I don't know, it's a bit of a surprise, but it's Michael Morrison, who's got his, you know, UEFA pro licence. Has been doing get his coaching badge in for over the past 13 years, but he's also he's just retired, I think, from Cambridge. He's played at Birmingham, Charlton, Reading, Leicester, and he's just I think retired at Cambridge. He's 38, and he's, you know, he's played under some decent people. I think he was a teammate of JJ's, but weirdly, I actually thought that role might go to Reeves.
But I think the interesting thing there is that was a bit of a rumour, wasn't it? You know.
Oh, yeah, I think we started.
Maybe we started, yeah.
Based on nothing.
based on nothing at all. Yeah. But I mean, the interesting thing there is it would seem a logical thing. But A, we don't even know whether he wants to be a coach. B, we don't even know whether or not he thinks he can play on for another couple of years as a first team player. And maybe if he does, then like Omar, he might have to take a step down to League Two, which he might not want to do yet. But having signed Nelson and obviously having re-signed Maycock, you know, for me, without obviously a bigger choice of wider choice of additional players being added, or you know, the likes of Jennings showing that they actually have got more to them physically or mentally than they perhaps had last season. Reeves doesn't start the team for me doesn't start the season as a starter.
No,
and whether he's going to be happy with that, who knows? But I think someone like Morrison, none of us know, do we? But
no.
On the face of it, someone like Reddington, who obviously had been coaching in Denmark and was coached, was a first team coach, I believe, at Palace under Roy Hodgson. He obviously has got a gig with Everton, I understand. So good luck to him there. And naturally enough, we were, I thought, very lucky and very fortunate to get him. But at the same time, we're never likely to be able to replace him with like for like. Arguably, getting someone like Morrison or someone of Morrison's ilk, in other words, a very young, impressionable young coach with hundreds of games and decades of years of experience in the Football League, it does mean that he can go to someone like Oggs, for example. And Oggs is an experienced player now, but he hasn't necessarily been to, you know, Stoke on a Tuesday night or the equivalent type thing like that. And there have been times. Well, yeah, we've all done Port Vale, and to be fair, the Port Vale Tuesday night game was the one that turned last season around.
Yeah.
But actually, I think Morrison could be a very good, wise head in the dressing room on occasions when a young dressing room with the likes of Jennings and Oggs and Sasu and Nelson, for example, are looking around thinking, you know, what's going on? And that will be an interesting question now for JJ: who did you replace Bugle with, both in terms of goals and in terms of salary, and also in terms of clout and personality in the dressing room?
It's interesting. I like there was something there that I thought was quite cool. It's going from being a veteran footballer at 38 to a young coach. I like that little transition you can make there. So you go from veteran to young. It'll be interesting to see how he gets on. And you're right. You know, hopefully we've seen something in him which is going to help us in the future. And that's the way the Wimbledon work. You know, we try and unearth people. It doesn't always work. And I think we've spoken to Craig about this a few times. And, you know, it's like that. You put something out and you see what happens. I mean, it's going to be interesting. You know, is McCoy Splatt going to be in our first team next season? Is Foyer going to be around the first team next season? You know, those are interesting things. In terms of our strike force at the moment, it's Brown, and I guess it could be Brown and Stevens. And then at the moment, we've got Sass and Foyer.
Well, it depends on what formation you're playing, you know, because he started last season, the very first Luton game that I was at, Niall was at, Martin came with us, and he started that game playing Stevens on his own up front with, as I remember, Josh Kelly and Marcus Brown in behind his two number 10s. And actually, we didn't have a lot of the ball, but as a formation, it worked relatively well. So I'm wondering, possibly, do we think about that as a formation? Because then you're freeing up, if you put in Keng in there with Brown, they're both central. You're freeing them up from defensive duties. You obviously have to get the midfield to do the running and the legwork behind it. And you clearly have to get the fullbacks to bomb on to give you width. But actually, to me, that would be quite exciting. But then you've only got one striker. But that's okay, really, if you then can choose from Sasu or Stevens or probably two others.
So you're saying...
I'm not sure about that. I mean, I just think... I kind of think what you're doing, and where I'm thinking more at the moment is when we start thinking about our midfield, and you've got actually Maycock, Hippolyte, Reeves, Stevens, that's quite a good, solid central midfield. You know, so actually if you were looking
at... Nelson, not Stevens. You're not playing Stevens in midfield.
No, I meant Nelson, right. But like, well, it's Reeves, Hippolyte, Maycock, Smith is who I meant, actually, you know, in that midfield. That is actually, if you were playing a very boring 4-4-2 with no wingers, that's a solid 4-4-2. That's a solid four.
I mean, but he's not.
He's really. That is four relatively good League One quality midfielders.
Mind you, towards the end of the season, you know, before we had the injury crisis, we were set up to be much more attacking, weren't we? And that was as it was. So like a, and maybe it is that. So like a Stevens up front, and you've got two behind Brown and potentially Nkeng. If you had Stevens and Brown and then came behind, and then however many people are there, behind them.
if you way to play a team that meant Nkeng had a free role in a kind of 10 position, that would be interesting. If he was allowed to say, right, Nkeng, just go on the pitch and do whatever you want. That would be, if there's a way of sorting a team like that, because I think he is a person that just creates anything from anywhere. And if he didn't have that kind of necessary defensive responsibility, and it was all about get the ball to Nkeng somewhere around the edge of the D.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
He scores five goals and sets up five goals by Christmas. Gets us sort of 20, 25 points. And then gets sold into the transfer window, and it all goes.
Yeah.
I mean, this obviously, and this is
talk about that.
You know, but this is interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, we've all been watching the World Cup. I can't believe over half of it's gone already. It's just like, it's been a very weird World Cup.
Can I ask everyone else, am I the only one that hasn't got World Cup fever?
No, I don't think I have.
I genuinely love the World Cup.
It's in the middle of the night, Mark. So, like, you know, it's like...
It's the
I genuinely watched three full games. Four full games. I watched one of the Scotland games. I watched two of the England games, I think. Yeah, I was in Germany for one of the England games, which was fascinating. I was actually at a drinks leaving do last Tuesday for the Ghana game.
Yeah,
and I watched about 10 minutes of the first half, and I said to my colleagues that they're there, I'm leaving now because if I stay, I'm going to get really annoyed, really leery at the TV, and I'll probably say something I'll regret. And obviously they haven't seen me as a football fan, so I thought this is not a good time to introduce myself like that. So I went back to the hotel, and I was saying this Holiday Inn, and it's Ibis actually, and I sat in the bar and watched it, and there was about 20 Germans in there, and when Kane missed that chance, like right at the end, I swore something unrepeatable, with a few, you know, F words and C words and whatever else in there. To the extent so much so loudly that I actually looked around the whole bar and apologised to the whole bar for my language, and then realised that nobody understood anything I just said because they were all Germans or international. So it was fine. But apart from that, it's like I haven't really been asked.
I just watched the because it's like you say, if the game's on at 5 or 6 o'clock, you'll watch it. And what's interesting is the next England game is on at 5, which will be fine. I think that will get a mass attendance. But if we beat Dr. Congo, then we go through and we play DR Congo. We play Mexico at 1 o'clock in the morning.
On a school night.
So, you know, and that'll be a fascinating game to watch. Yeah. But it's,
I mean, I know that this is a podcast between four men of a certain age, but I don't know about you. I can't stay awake that late.
No.
1 o'clock in the morning. The only way I've got to 1 o'clock in the morning is if I have gone to bed at 7 o'clock and I slept for several hours and then wake up and hopefully try and get back to sleep again.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's been a bit weird. The timing, definitely. I mean, I've tried to watch all the 6 o'clock games, and when I see them, I'm like, oh, great, it's a 6 o'clock game, and there's quite a cool pub in Winchester that has some reasonable sized screens. Obviously, I got excited about this first Spain game. That was really rubbish. And then, has there been any games I've been super excited about? No, I think the problem is with the later ones, I get excited. That obviously builds up the adrenaline, which basically makes me want to go to sleep. So I may have missed the end of quite a lot of games.
It's
in a way, because I haven't watched much of it. Therefore, I don't feel too bad, because the games I would have liked to have watched might have been France versus Senegal, largely because I'd have been cheering on Senegal as always, because they're not French. therefore, you know, that's how it works. So there are things like that.
I did watch Germany Ecuador in Germany, which is
quite interesting.
Because I was at the company summer do on this like big open air terrace thing, and they put a big screen on inside, and it was a sweltering night last Thursday. And so one of the MDs of the company comes up to me. I've only been there like a month, right? And he comes up to me at kickoff and says, "Oh, are you looking forward to the game, Mark?" And I said, "Yeah, you know, I am. But I have to tell you that I've never seen Germany play live once, or even live on TV. And that was the European Championship final of 1992, at which point he just started walking away from me because he knew that game was Germany were massive favourites. And they lost 2-0 to Peter Schmeichel inspired Denmark. And of course, what happened on Thursday? They lost 2-1 to Ecuador. So I really am the absolute, whatever the word is, Judas Albatross or something for.
And they're playing. We're recording this. This will go out after. So who knows what the Germany Paraguay game will be? But whilst we're on this, listen, I want to get on to the. This is our brief World Cup interlude. We'll get on to the fixtures in a minute. But Niall and I sat down recently, and we were saying, if you could put together a Wimbledon team who have had some sort of connection with the World Cup. So not necessarily playing for Wimbledon at the time, but, you know, in their careers, they've played at a World Cup and they've played, and then another time they played for Wimbledon. And it was quite interesting. See if you, between, no, not you, because you'd be cheating, but see, Mark, and Adam, I mean, like, you're never going to get any. But
Kenny Cunningham? Did he play for
Kenny Cunningham, yeah, must have done.
I think there's 17, isn't there, Matt? Or is it more than that? 19 players? Because there were a couple that we missed, and then, you know, they came up. So, like, you know.
Hang on, let me go before Mark, because Mark's going to know the answers.
Yeah,
no, I don't know the answers at all. Yeah, I don't know the answers.
You've definitely got Kenny Cunningham. Okay. In actual fact, I think we put together a sort of like a, you know, it could be literally an 11. But carry on. See if
you've got Leo in there. Right.
Yeah. Robbie Earl must have. And Robbie Earl for Jamaica.
Robbie Earl, good call.
Was Marcus Gale in the same squad?
Yes.
As Robbie Earl.
Yep, okay. So you got Gale in there. Yep, good call.
Hrannarsson, did he play for Iceland in the World Cup?
No.
Okay. Sully was in goal. Well, he's in the Scotland squad, but I don't think he was in the Scotland squad.
I've run out of players already.
Sully was in the Scotland squad that went to the World Cup. I don't think he played for
Scotland. Okay, there you go. I've got a spine now, then that's fine.
Yeah.
Sully and Cunningham and Earl and Gale. That's four through the middle, and Leonardo's false nine or ten or whatever.
Yep.
Who would have been in goal? Sully, yeah, sorry.
We've actually got three
four goalkeepers.
Sorry, four keepers. You've got Sully already.
Four goalkeepers. Peter Shilton, and he played for a reserve team once, didn't he?
Yeah, you are, but Shilton.
What?
That's obscure.
There's an obvious one. There's two obvious ones, in fact.
What? Was Besson on the sub at some point?
Yeah, Besson.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, Besson, yeah, he was there in 1990. And actual fact, I think there was something. Now you drew my attention to this. Paul Gascoigne was interviewed just recently about that 1990, and they were all saying that Besson should have come on in the last minute and to do the penalties because Shilton was crap at penalties. Anyhow,
I read that. What about
recent?
Did Laurie Cunningham go to a World Cup?
No, not got him.
El Hamadi.
What about Shane Smeltz?
Yep.
Well, there you go. So scored for
New Zealand.
Actually, you could have Gale left wing then, so that's fine. Yep. Your Gale left wing, Leonardo right wing, Earl and Vinny never went to a World Cup.
No, but you've got
Sanch go to a World Cup. No.
You've got a really good striker. What, back in the day, back in the 90s, another really one. Good striker.
Oh, Chief.
Yep.
Akuku,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so
playing like 4-1-4 or something. Four strikers.
And you've got Schipperle.
Oh yeah, of course.
Connolly.
Yeah.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
What about defenders? I'm struggling on defenders though now. Oh, did Terry Phelan? He played in Italian '90, didn't he?
Yep.
American '94.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. I've only got.
You've got another centre back who played in the last World Cup.
Oh. Last World
Cup. Yep. 2022.
What country?
Oh, I'm giving it away. In actual fact, I'm upset that you don't know this, Mark. You particularly,
Welsh?
With your connections.
It's some Welsh player.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Hughes. No.
Hudson. No.
No. We actually got money for this.
Centre back.
Centre back.
What?
Obviously not Joe Lewis, but Welsh centre back.
Yep.
Yeah. He was a very popular player for us.
Yeah. This might be even.
Did he go to franchise or something?
No.
No. I was looking very smug, dear listener.
No.
Well, he clearly didn't play for Cardiff, that's for sure.
No.
He might play for Cardiff, I don't know.
Dear listener, I'll have you know that the first mention of Cardiff this season was not made by me.
Was it, you know, I do know it, by the way, but you might want to go with connect, like, was called up for the Euros. A last minute, kind of like, didn't come on.
Centre back.
No. First name.
All
Chris.
Right. Okay. Chris. Chris
Gut. Go Guttering.
Gunter.
Chris Gunter. Yeah.
Gunter. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. We got money.
Exactly.
For
exactly. Yeah. So there you are. And now we've got. What have we got? We've got some Scandinavians.
Yeah, I was going to say there must be way more Scandinavians that we can't remember.
And there also, you've also got you've got two keepers. One, you would say, arguably the best keeper we've had in recent times.
Oh, but I mean, what's his name? Australia or wherever? What, Ruse?
Aaron Ramsdale.
Did he go to the last World Cup?
He went to the last World Cup.
Oh, of course he did.
And you've got another goalkeeper. Played for us very, very recently.
Very, very recently.
Fairly recent.
And their team had just got into the last 16 of the World Cup.
Yep.
What?
Japan.
No, last 16. So there's only two sides that are so far in the last 16.
Oh, Canada.
Oh, yeah, we said about this.
Oh, Owen Goodman. Yeah, he's in the squad, isn't he? Yeah,
yeah.
He's third choice. Right, fair enough.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
So, listen,
you've got about six goalkeepers and about six strikers, but you haven't actually got 11
there. I think I'm going to put you out of your misery with the other ones.
No. There's one I want to keep back, Matt.
I'll keep one back. But you've got you've got Matt Booth.
He's a South African.
South African Matt Booth. And Tony Reddings, who coached New Zealand. And then, obviously...
Who's the coach in Norway?
Oh, yeah. Stahlbacken, the crab.
Yeah. Yes. Stahlbacken. And then you've got manager.
Stahlbacken and Earl might have played together. Oh, that's a whole midfield at least.
Yeah. And you've got an international manager who's a manager.
Oh, Drillo, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. And and then you've got, I think that's it. There's the one that Niall's holding back.
Yeah. So at the moment we're playing 3-4-4 as a formation.
Tor Pedersen and stuff like that. So what you're thinking about is probably one of the greatest English players to ever play for Wimbledon.
He never played for England.
No, greatest legend.
Oh, Warren Barton.
No, you're thinking far too recent.
Far too recent. You got to look back. Go back.
All right.
Go back. Think.
Johnny Haynes.
Johnny Haynes.
And Adam's looking, dear listener, at the screen thinking, who the fuck
exactly.
Is Johnny Haynes?
Like, I have no idea.
Johnny Haynes is one of Fulham's most well-known players. I think you might have played for Fulham.
I mean, maybe it's in Niall's book, so I probably do know about it at some point.
Adam, right? I'll send you a picture on the same old Wimble. So here I am, Wimbledon legend, picture of Johnny Haynes. That was your hint.
Oh, did you?
When I was like, I'll jump in the summer.
And of course, you know, because we don't want to forget our raison d'etre. We are the White Rumbles. There's also a series of women who played for Wimbledon and have played in the World Cup, mainly for England. I'm not going to name, but you know, so one of the most famous is Rachel Yankee.
Jimmy Carney. Karen Carney. Rachel Yankee. Oh yes, that's true. Yeah.
Marianne Spacey.
Okay, what is Wikipedia?
Yeah, Marianne Spacey. Yes, sorry, so, anyhow,
some of the greatest English players of all time, yeah, women English players of all time, have played Wimbledon.
It's anyhow. Point is, you know, hardly any of them have played for their national teams as Wimbledon players, but that, you know, I think either we made them into those international players, or
this is true. Johnny Haynes scored four goals on loan in six games in 1951 and then made his England debut in 1954.
So if it wasn't for us, yeah, Johnny Haynes would have been nothing.
Exactly. Nothing without us.
1954, blooming egg.
Exactly.
Ask your granddad.
Exactly.
As they say.
So anyhow, that was
our granddad, not the listeners.
I mean,
that could be us. We are granddads.
Which Wimbledon player has played the most times in the World Cup finals?
Oh, interesting.
The most.
Well, yeah, if you're including Shilton and Bobby Shilton.
Yeah. Excellent. Oh, dear.
Cannot
me.
Think of Shilton as an England player.
I know. No.
Player, yes, a Wimbledon player, no.
I remember him warming up when we were playing Liverpool. I think it was very odd to see. Anyhow,
also,
so
give him loads of shit as well. Yeah, when he was in goal. But you know, whatever for Derby or something.
Yeah,
things that we definitely shouldn't repeat while Paul Mills scored a penalty against him in play lane. Yeah,
no, we shouldn't repeat those. Anyhow, so the fixtures. The fixtures are out, gents, and you know it's interesting. You're saying that the fixtures look kind to us. I mean, obviously we've got Newport at home in the first round of the Carabao Cup, and you know, got to give that a go.
But they are literally, I think, the lowest ranking team we could have got, apart from someone who's been promoted out non-league.
Yeah.
So second or third lowest.
Yes.
Right. That bodes really well.
No, I know that's not a good thing for us. And then you've got, but then obviously,
so we got Newport on Niall's birthday.
Exactly, and then you've got, you've got to be there, Nine.
Home game.
And then,
are you on holiday in a tent in France, Niall? Or are you
no,
at the
no, home? I am in the UK.
Oh, but they're clearly not.
Not the game, though, is what he's saying.
Already making excuses.
Whatever.
And yeah, but that
Huddersfield also town away. Anyone fancy that as a quick away day?
But been there last season, which was, I don't, you know, that was great fun. 3-3, that's brilliant. And then obviously
I have got my eyes on one game, and that is Sheffield Wednesday away on the 17th of the season.
Well, right? I'm just, those were the two fixtures. The two fixtures I looked out for, genuinely, big fixtures, at Sheffield Wednesday away, definitely wants to do that, and Leicester away.
Leicester Boxing Day.
What? Leicester Ridiculous. Boxing Day? That's Ridiculous. Impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I still might do it, but
I'm tempted. I am.
But then someone's
tempted.
Got to drive, right? You know.
Yeah, there'll be no buses, there'll be no trains or anything, will there?
No trains or anything.
I mean, someone said that they've confused, that someone at the SA's got us confused, us and franchise, because you'd have thought we'd be playing. I mean, Bromley would be the obvious choice, wouldn't it? Don't you think?
Yeah, totally. Well, that's
losing at home to Bromley on a
oh no, that would be horrible. But it's
again, and the first delightful away Tuesday night of the season, 1st of September away at Burton Albion. But
so,
this is what I'm saying. We've got Burton and Wigan in the first five games, and they're the kind of teams we want to get points off.
Yeah,
just being practical about it.
I'm just the other game I was looking at, because obviously Amelia's at Nottingham. So I was like, right, well, I'm going straight looking at Notts County, straight looking at Leicester City, and they're both like,
yeah, Notts County's
on Tuesday night.
Tuesday night, December, 1st of December, Tuesday. I mean, it's just, yeah, these have not fallen well for.
I might go to that because I think I could probably persuade Amelia to go to that. because there won't be much happening on a night in Nottingham. The other thing,
but like with the new role I've got obviously a bunch of exhibitions that are in Cologne. So basically, when the event's on, I've got to be at the event, right?
Yeah.
So I'm now looking at that, see how that clashes. The first one's in late October, no clash. Because a lot of them were weekends, because I've got like crazy events that deal with whirlpools and spas and swimming pools and crazy things. But no, at the moment, no clashes.
You see, it's all working. But I mean, you've got to make these things, and obviously things are going to be moved around as we go. I never like playing franchise at home first. I always prefer
to I'm annoyed that about fixture. That game, because that's like in September and it'd be quite a nice, probably would have been a nice day out, but obviously I'm not going to go. So annoying.
First home midweek game is the 20th of October, Tuesday night against Man.
I've been to the last couple of those franchise games, and I've got to feel my luck's got horribly run out at some point, unfortunately.
The interesting thing I would say is very few, I know it's early, we've signed a few players, as we said, in the last week or so, and most people seem to have reported back for training in the last few days, or today possibly. It was recording Monday the 29th. But not many people have signed many players yet. I saw a thing on the Wigan fans' social page earlier today saying there's six of their players, including the guy that scored that amazing free kick against us with his first touch. Yeah. Of the ball. Six of their players from their first team squad are out of contract, and just like Brugel and Lewis and so on, haven't re-signed anything, and they haven't heard anything about them one way or the other. And you'd imagine there's loads of clubs around Wigan, you know, either first division or league one or two level that would be able to snap them up. So I don't think we're behind the eight ball in that particular.
When does the window close then?
September. I won't talk about January, September. Yeah. The 31st of August is a Monday, so it might be that one. It might be the Monday after that. I'm not sure.
I've got some weird feeling that because it's the bank holiday, it might be the Tuesday the 1st. Might be the.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Some reason I have a feeling. I mean, there's some. You know, it's going to be some interesting. I mean, you know, you've got Oxford in there as well. We've not played them for a while. We live near Bromley.
Bit of gossip for you.
Yeah.
So I was chatting to a guy who services my boiler, and he's connected because his son used to be in the FC Women Academy. And played a few reserve games. Actually, played in that test game. He's still connected because his son was in the same academy for about 5 or 6 years as Jack Carey and a number of other players, including Ayu Basal. So they're all still mates with each other, and the parents are still mates with each other. So Jack Carey to start the season at another club in the Championship, not his current one. I don't know which one, but... Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I mean,
except there's only one in London, because apparently he's not moving. So there you go.
In the Championship,
work that one out. It's not that hard to work out. You know,
Charlton
in the Championship.
Well, Charlton and QPR, Millwall, West Ham are all in the Championship.
So apart from that one club in London,
apart from those three others.
Well, he's got a choice then, isn't he?
Yeah, he has got a choice, yeah.
You could argue
he lives in Maidenhead, so, you know, it's not that far from QPR, is it?
No, QPR would make sense.
I can't believe Mark's getting, like, pro, like, football transfer news from his boiler repair guy.
I know, that's right.
That's how it happens.
I've been in it.
That's how it happens. That's how the best bits of intel. That is probably where that other podcast get all their stuff. They probably got... the electrician or the Wimbledon players. That's probably it. We've always thought it was like some leak from some agent thing. It's not. One of them's actually a Sparky. That's what it is.
Oh, dear me. Anyhow, it's all, you know, it's
amicable to me. The summer transfer window will close on Monday the 1st of September. Oh, that's 2 years ago. Forget that. Ignore that.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Sorry.
It's you know, there's...
Wikipedia's not... your friend.
We're going to be a lot of movement. What's been quite cool in a way is that it really did feel like we didn't have any break last year. It, you know, it just, you know, we, because the season had extended by a month, and then it just felt like we were straight back into it. So people have had a break. It was nice. There was a little clip, wasn't there, with Matty Stevens saying that, you know, he'd been away for a week, but he was obviously getting his rehab up. So hopefully he's now fit and raring to go. It's going to... But and now we're 6 weeks away from the start of the season, which still feels a long way away, which is brilliant. It just feels like we've got time to get ourselves together, hopefully get those other transfers over the line, probably get some people out of the door as well. It's, you know, and challenge again. You know, we're always going to be underdogs, but I do have this feeling about the more that a side plays together, when you haven't got a huge churn of people, that's a good thing. Because I think other sides are going to churn.
I mean, the other thing I suppose we did forget is at the start of the season, we were right up in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, we're not a bad team. We just had a very, very bad end to the season. So I suppose we ought to think back to that. And it's like, when you have that freakish set of injuries, which we did, that's going to affect any team in League One.
Yeah. There's a crux. It's a, how good a first 11 did we have? And how good a squad did we not have? Yeah. And the likes
of, exactly, unfortunately, the problem, so that's Foyo, the thing with
McCoy, Splatt, Jennings were found wanting, you know?
Yeah. That's
and
the thing.
Only people like Maycock, who certainly wouldn't have been started at the beginning of last season, came through and actually showed that they were good enough.
Yeah.
But I think that's it, Mark. The thing with our budget, you're looking, you're gambling on having a very good starting 11-12, right? Whatever, that's it. And then, you know, you've got, you know, if you're going to go for a squad game, then you're risking the fact that you might just not be good enough and there's never going to be anywhere else.
You want a strong starting 11, and then you want a decent four people, don't you? You want like 15, 16 people, and then you need to get people who are going to be covering both. So having that Steve Sessegnon, he can play probably across the back, you know, but he can certainly play left and right. So that's a good thing. So you want people who are going to be able to, unfortunately, you need people who are going to be a bit versatile. Anyhow, it's going to be interesting, chaps. We're going to do another one of these. Before that, I know that there's a couple of things to sign off on. The Don's Local Action Group are doing the appeal for the earthquake victims in Venezuela. So do check that out and see if you can contribute. It's absolutely horrific. And yet again, DLEG have stepped up brilliantly. So that's fantastic. And the other thing to say is, for me personally, thank Tall Mark, because you got a place to play in a charity match at Plough Lane, but you couldn't make it. So I went along and did it for you. And I played some minutes at Plough Lane and managed to miss a sitter with a ball into the middle. And
when you say some minutes, we're talking five or
I must have played like 30 minutes or so. When I came off, I think that my team spent the whole time trying to arrange a transfer to the opposition team. That was slightly insulting, to be honest.
And who did you have on your team? Anyone we would have heard of?
Oh yeah, I had. I was managed by Terry Brown, and I had a Lewis. Oh fucking hell!
Lewis Taylor.
Thank you. Who is? I mean, amazing. Still, and looks amazing, and just ran through the whole team. He was great. Seb Brown was in goal for the opposition, and they were managed by Robbo. And I actually had a chat with Robbo after the game. Do you know what? Thoroughly decent man, and I think he got dealt some really bad cards. And I think there was a lot of stuff that that people put at his door that wasn't anything to do with him. I don't think he necessarily wanted it all to be young players. That actually wasn't what he was doing. But I think that was a club direction. And they felt because he was so good with young people, young players, that's why he was given that role. But actual fact, he knew that he needed to get other things in. So, and again, he suffered similarly. And it didn't work out for him in the end. We had that horrible run at the back end of the season with lots of injuries. So he's kind of spent time rebuilding his and getting back into it. But a thoroughly, thoroughly decent man. Hopefully we can get him on at some point.
Yeah, this is it. The moment we get Robbo on, I'm going to find it a bit difficult because I was on the Don's Trust board when he was sacked. So
and the whole fault,
what?
It's all your fault.
Because it was the PLC, obviously, but there were loads of conversations about Robbo's future, and obviously with the PLC, obviously the majority of that at that time were DTB members who were obviously taking on the steer from the DTB. So there was a lot.
Blame you for that really cringy video that Robbo did with Chris Stewart.
No, you can't believe that. I'm just thinking there was a period where I was like in kind of overseeing comms for the club as well. I don't think it was then, but there was a period where I was. That's because I hired Thorpe.
There are he's quickly jumped in there.
Well done, we love this.
No, it's brilliant. I mean, it's just it was just interesting talking to him, and you know, had a bit well with Kopi as well. And again, you know, understandable, as we all know, we're working within incredibly tight budgets, and obviously we've voted to go down to 50+1, but that process is going to take this season, I think, at least, to rumble through. So, you know, we've got to find a buyer. Then we, the fans, have got to agree to that sale. And then whoever comes in has got to go through the director's test. So it's, you know,
yeah. It's really important that whoever it is called Robbie or has to be our first team coach. That's where it is, isn't it?
Clearly. I mean, it would be exciting, but we'll see. You know, it's going to be a bit of time. So it's going to be another exciting season for Wimbledon, because there's always going to be news. There's always going to be something happening. One hopes that the pitch doesn't explode at any point. It's just something like that doesn't happen. And, you know, we managed to get, you know, because what we really want to do is get to a point where we can still be in, if we're still in League One this time next year, That'll be another great result for us, unless we've gone up into the Championship, which would be an amazing result for us.
Now you're getting carried away already, but that's fine. We've got another sort of 40-odd episodes to be able to get carried away.
Get carried away, despondent. The usual bit around Christmas, where we've got some people on loan who we're really excited about, who then go back to their parent club.
We haven't got any loanies yet, have we? So.
No, I mean, but we didn't really get any sort of like major loanies last season, didn't we? I mean, a lot of the loanies we got were.
Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, so maybe that's it. So if we can get some, you know, work the loan market, I think that would be quite interesting for us if we could do that, which we didn't do last season.
So to answer the question, Tuesday, the 1st of September at 11 p.m.
There you are. That's kind of what I said.
It's
all right.
6 weeks from now, so a lot's going to happen between now and then. Yeah. We're probably going to record quite a few pods between now and then. I'm working on another summer special, but until I get it confirmed, we won't release any details of that yet.
Excellent. Well, we're looking forward to it. I know Adam's excited because we've got new software, so hopefully this is all going to work. He's really excited about doing multiple episodes over the summer.
He's tearing what little hair he's got out.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Okay, chaps. Well, listen. This is it. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. And thank you very much to Tool, Mark Lewis, my friend, R. Cooper, Dr. Adam Proctor. My name is Matt Cooper. We're the same old Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth.